In our gospel for this third Sunday of Easter, we hear the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And as they're walking along, the risen Jesus joins them, but they don't recognize him. He opens their minds and their hearts to understand the scriptures, showing how everything that had happened was part of God's plan. And then while they're at table, he takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to them, and their eyes are opened and they recognize him. Jesus was with them. Jesus was with them. He has been with us since that day, brothers and sisters. He is with us now. If you've been to Mass, well, you can check that off, you're here. If you've been to Mass, you've been to Emmaus. You've been to Emmaus. What we see in this gospel is not just a story, it's a pattern. It's a pattern. Jesus established the very foundation of what we do every Sunday at Mass. First, Jesus opens the scriptures to them. Their hearts burn within them as he explains the word of God. And then, in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are open and they recognize him. What we see described here in this account from Luke's gospel is a liturgy. It's the Mass. First, the liturgy of the word, the first part of the Mass, where Christ speaks to us and opens the scriptures. And then in the liturgy of the Eucharist, the second part of the Mass, where he's made known to us in the breaking of the bread. And when the priest then, acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, takes the bread, says the blessing, using the sacred words given by Christ himself at the Last Supper, he then breaks it and gives it to us. And what we receive is no ordinary bread. What we receive is the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus, the same Jesus who was present to those disciples at Emmaus. Now, the Mass has been the center of Christian life from the very beginning of the church. The Mass has been the center of Christian life from the very beginning of the church. The Mass isn't something the church invented later, something that developed as part of the life of the church. Rather, the life of the church developed because of the Mass. The life of the church developed because of the Mass. The very first Christians, we read, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers, as we hear in the Acts of the Apostles. And we even have a description of this from the earliest Christians. Around the middle of the second century, Justin Martyr, an early church father, describes what Christians did when they gathered on Sunday. He writes, "The writings of the apostles and the prophets are read. Then the one who presides speaks. Then we all rise and pray, and bread and wine are brought forward, and the Eucharist is distributed." Sound familiar? It's the same pattern. And there are others, right? Even from other witnesses, including non-Christian sources. I wanted to include them all. But there are plenty of sources we see the same pattern as we see here on the road to Emmaus. The scriptures opened, and then the breaking of the bread. And this wasn't merely symbolic. This wasn't merely symbolic, brothers and sisters. As Justin Martyr says, we do not receive this as common bread or common drink, but as the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. They all testify to the real presence of Jesus from the early church. He makes himself truly present to us, brothers and sisters, just as he did for those disciples. So if the Mass is so essential to our lives as Christians and has been from the beginning, why do we treat it as something optional or even routine? You know, one reason is that we often speak of attending Mass, as if we're spectators, you know, like going to a game, maybe like going to the Masters tournament. That'd be great to spectate. Or going to a great movie, you know, any of those things. But we don't come to Mass to be entertained. We don't come to Mass to be entertained. You are not my audience. You are not my audience. I am not your audience. God Almighty is our audience. We don't simply attend Mass We assist at Mass. We assist at Mass. And maybe some of you know we used to speak of it this way more commonly, and maybe some of you from your childhood even remember from your missals, you know, assisting at Mass. That is to say, we participate. And what does that participation mean? What does that participation mean? What is actually meant by this call for a full and active participation at Mass, as we hear in one of the constitutional documents of the Second Vatican Council, Sacrosanctum Concilium, on the sacred liturgy? What does this call for active and full participation mean? Well, Pope Benedict XVI explained that active participation doesn't simply mean doing more things. Doesn't simply mean doing more things or doing more things outwardly. Pope Benedict wrote how active participation after the council was very quickly misunderstood to mean something merely external, like a need for just general activity. Rather, active participation, brothers and sisters, it means entering into the mystery. Entering into the mystery. It includes silence and listening and an interior union with what is taking place here. Because at every Mass, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary is made present to us. And you aren't just watching that happen. You aren't just watching that happen. You're part of it. You're part of it. And that's the invitation, as we'll hear in a few moments when I say, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. That your life, your joys, your sufferings, your struggles, you bring all of that to the altar. And you unite it with the sacrifice of Christ, the perfect sacrifice of Christ, so that you too are offering yourself with that sacrifice to the Father. This is why the Eucharist is called the source and summit of the Christian life. Because in the Eucharist, everything flows from it. Everything flows from it. Our prayer, our works of charity, our mission. It all flows from the Eucharist. These aren't things that we do in addition to the Mass, but because of what and who we receive at the Mass. As we heard in the Gospel, the disciples' eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread. And so too for us, brothers and sisters. So too for us. You know, we have our first Augustinian Pope, Pope Leo. So fittingly, and Pope Leo this past week, as you may have seen, visited the ruins of Hippo, of course, the origin of St. Augustine. And St. Augustine wrote beautifully, "If we do not feast at the table of the Word, we ought not feast at the table of the Eucharist." If we do not feast at the table of the Word, we ought not feast at the table of the Eucharist, because our hearts are meant to be set on fire. Our hearts are meant to be set on fire. Pope Benedict XVI said in his inaugural sermon as Pope, "If we do not embrace the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, we fail to understand the Scriptures." If we do not see the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, we fail to understand the Scriptures. In other words, brothers and sisters, it's like someone who goes to a restaurant, studies the menu, but never orders. You see these menus? They're like books. I could spend a lot of time in those menus, but I want the feast to come. I want the meal to come. I want to order. And what a disappointment. What a disappointment, brothers and sisters, that if we fail to understand the Scriptures, then we fail to understand the fullness of Jesus Christ given to us, His real presence in the Holy Eucharist. Our hearts are meant to be to burn when we hear the Word proclaimed, and then our eyes opened in the breaking of the bread. Christ makes the Scriptures come alive to us through the Eucharist. And that's why we need to be spending time in His Word, in the sacred Scriptures, daily. You know, opening the Bible and using something like a Magnificat, right? A great resource. So brothers and sisters, during this Easter season and always, may our hearts burn within us as He opens the Scriptures to us. And may our eyes be opened as He reveals Himself in the breaking of the bread. And may we always approach this great gift, the gift of his sacred body and blood, with a thankful heart, that is to say, with a Eucharistic heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.